Thank you very much for coming to this third session of this seminar on Vaishnava Sannyasi in ISKCON, in modernity, and particularly in ISKCON. Let us see where we are. I will start with a reading. It's Bhagavad Gita time, so one verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 6. Yesterday we read a verse explaining that activities of sacrifice, charity, and austerity never should be abandoned by renouncers, even those who are pure, says the Gita, or those who are thoughtful, who are advanced, become purified by such activities. Because the nature of this world is that we can become polluted very easily. That's the nature of the material world. So we need to constantly be keeping up with the cleansing process. So text number 6 reads as follows. Hare Krishna. Info: a fatal error occurred processing the restoration data. what does that mean? Continue anyway. This is what was written. A fatal error, something that didn't hibernate or something. Looks okay. Etanya pitu karmani sangam tyakva phalani cha kartavyaniti me partha nischitam matamuttamam. All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O son of Prita. That is my final opinion. Srila Prabhupada's purport: although all sacrifices are purifying, one should not expect any result by such performances. In other words, all sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up. But sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also it is said that any activity which leads to devotional service to the Lord should be accepted. That is the highest criterion of religion. A devotee of the Lord should accept any kind of work, sacrifice, or charity which will help him in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord. And then the translations of the next three verses describe renunciation according to the modes of nature. Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. O Arjuna, when one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness. The intelligent renouncer situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work, nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. Any computer expert here? Because he's asking if I want to restore the computer using system restore, what should I tell it? No? Say no. Okay. You are convinced. I see you are convinced. Like, okay. What is my duty? Yeah, well, I need the... They are saying in a very convinced way, don't do that, ladies. Don't do that.
I suggest you cancel it for now.
Cancel, okay.
And if it said it wants to do it again.
Okay, I guess we'll start discussing and then we'll see. What does that mean? How do we interpret this? Restart again? Just stop it and... Yes? It's attempting repairs. Okay, let us do that. Okay. Narottam is looking with an attitude of helping, like he wants to do something. Okay, we are starting now. Let us see what's happening. I just shut it down and then now it starts. So what did we discuss yesterday? What do you remember from yesterday? Can you please take care and then I'll... Good, yes. So we look at the history of sannyas from classical times until the period post-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's period. Classical times, medieval times, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, which was the end of the medieval period, then post-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, and our time was up. Okay, good. Any comments or questions on what we discussed yesterday? Because yesterday there was not much time for discussion or comments, questions. Before we move, today we're going to focus, we're going to enter into Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's Reestablishing the Sannyasa Order of Life, or we could say establishing a modern expression of sannyas. Based on Shastra, he didn't make it up. He looked at other sampradayas, also what the Ramanuja sampradaya was doing. And he said, okay, this is appropriate for preaching purposes. And then we will look into sannyas within ISKCON, continuing from the Gaudiya Math. You mean Kala Krishnadas? Okay. Of course, it seems that in the case of Kala Krishnadas, he had not been ordained as a sannyasi. In the case of Chota Haridas, he's referred to as a sannyasi. So, because of the different ashram situation, Lord Chaitanya reacted in different way. That will be a possible explanation, an explanation. Any other thoughts on that are welcome, if you have. Regarding what you mentioned about eating, it's true that we have find many descriptions of festive eating in Chaitanya Charitamrita, great festivals, but also we find descriptions of Raghunath Das Goswami performing austerities in terms of eating as a sannyasi, even though he was not initiated in the form like with Danda and so on, but more the Babaji type of sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely pleased with him. And he gave instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami and in general for renouncers to control particularly the tongue and the genital as an important principle for sannyasis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized that. It's only half of it. Why is half? Should we go to the control panel? It's connected, but you did that already? Should we try? Let us see if putting the program, it will open. Sorry about that, but it's technology. Yes. It's showing full here, so in that sense it's not too... Can someone do something in there, in the projector? And okay. That's an old version, it's a strange. It could be that some data which was not safe has been lost. What's that? Thank you. But now some data is missing. Anyway, I'll do my best. So this about Raghunath Das Goswami and then about Chota Haridas, is that okay, the answer? So in one case he was a sannyasi, in the other case he wasn't. Any other comments or questions about that?
I had a discussion last night and we were discussing how Gautama Sannyas may have actually been much more focused on the loving exchange between himself and the devotees, including himself not just as a supreme lord, but including himself as a devotee. Yeah.
Very good point, yeah. There is that lila in which devotees were bringing lots of prasadam, and then Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's personal servant, was putting it aside. And there was a full room, a room full with prasad brought by the devotees, and the quantities were so large, Govinda was not bringing it to Lord Chaitanya. But then one of the devotees expressed sadness because Lord Chaitanya had not been eating the prasadam. And then Lord Chaitanya ordered Govinda to bring all the food in the room, and he ate everything. Of course, only God can do something like that. Another person will die. Yesterday, I went after the fasting to eat some chips. I think it was cold, was a bit late, and then I had pain in my stomach ache. And that was, I ate something, but I didn't eat that much, and I already had pain. So what to speak of eating a whole room full of prasadam? But God can do that. But Samandala Prabhu's point is very, very true, that it was due to the love for the devotees, Lord Chaitanya will do that. Otherwise he will prefer to eat some vegetables, simple sabji, some roots, maybe a little rice, but no more than that. He will express that when he was invited. He will say, "I am a sannyasi. Why you are feeding me so much variety of food?" But then the devotees like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife Sati will insist and will offer it with so much devotion, and Lord Chaitanya will eat. In the medieval times also there is provision in the Jati Dharma Samuchaya by Yadava Prakash. There is a provision that sometimes in order to honor a guest, a sannyasi may eat. So there is like kind of a clause there. Of course, the way as I read it, the way how it looks, it's something extremely exceptional that will not be a clause that every day the sannyasi will be using, because that will be breaking the rules. But in the case of Lord Chaitanya, due to the in order to reciprocate with his devotees, he will go to every day to a different house for prasadam, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. A different devotee, and there will be not enough, some devotees will not be able to host the Lord because there was so much offer. Okay, so some data seems to be lost, and I don't want to, I may have a copy elsewhere, but I will have to look into it. And so I think what I will do, just proceed with whatever I have, will be less reading and more discussion, which should be fine. So after the post-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu period, in which especially during the 18th and 19th century, there was a lot of degradation in terms of moral values by the Babajis in the Sampradaya. Illicit sex, intoxication, and Vaishnavism was considered as a practice for people with low morality, particularly Chaitanya Vaishnavism in Bengal. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur decided to initiate a reform project, we could say, in order to restore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya to the level that it deserves. So he started a very intense campaign. He identified 13 divisions of Sahajya groups or Apa Sampradayas, deviations, groups who had deviated. And then he requested his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, to continue the reform short after his departure of this world. There is a letter in 1914, short before Bhaktivinoda Thakur's departure, where he wrote, this is an excerpt of the letter to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. "People of this world, who are proud of their own aristocratic birth, attack the pure Vaishnava saying, they have taken birth in low-class families because of their sins. Thus they commit offenses. The solution to the problem is to establish the order of Daiva Varna Ashrama, something you have started doing. You should know that to be the real service to the Vaishnava. Because pure devotional conclusions are not being preached, all kinds of superstitions and bad concepts are being called devotion by such pseudo-sampradayas as Sahajya and Ativadi. Please always crush these anti-devotional concepts by preaching pure devotional conclusions and by setting an example through your personal conduct." So 4 years after this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta founded the Gaudiya Math. This was during the Gaura Purnima day, and the same day he established the Gaudiya Math and installed deities in the mat. He took self-initiated himself in front of a picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur as a sannyasi. We could say, how did he do that? This, I think they are called technically Svatantra Sannyas, which is an orthodox, self-ordained sannyas. It is not very well looked at, generally speaking. If someone comes, and there was a case in ISKCON, someone took in front of a picture of Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj and took sannyas initiation. Later on, he gave it up. The GBC convinced him. But this was for 1 year or two. And that devotee was justifying it on the basis of, well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did it, so why cannot do it? Anyway, he served as a justifying reason. In the case of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, as an acharya, he didn't find a suitable person to ordain him sannyas. He didn't want to do it from an Avaishnava for whatever reasons. And because Sri Ramanujacharya, he was a Svatantra Sannyasi also, so he did it. He had studied before that, he had been studying the Sannyas tradition in the Vaishnava Sampradayas, and he decided to do it in this way. Pranava Prabhu, who did his doctoral thesis on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he says, it's an interesting analysis, he says, "Regarding Bhaktisiddhanta's self-initiation, it may have been actuated by three considerations. One, Sri Chaitanya had not established a sannyas order in the Gaudiya tradition. two. So he didn't want to do it in another tradition. He wanted to do it within the tradition. The orders in Bengal and Orissa were preeminently non-dualist. They were impersonalist. He didn't want to do it, to take it from an impersonalist. And three, South Indian Vaishnava orders, such as those of Madhva, only accepted Brahmanas, which Bhaktisiddhanta was not by birth. So, if he had been born a Brahmana, he could have taken sannyas from the Ramanujas, but then that was not the case. He was born in a Kayasta family, and he wanted to establish the principle that actually sannyas, he was using it for spreading Krishna consciousness, for preaching. That was the only reason, or the primary reason, why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta established sannyas initiation. He also inspired by the capable management of his disciple Kunjabihari Vidyabhushana, who later on became Bhaktivilas Tirtha Goswami in the Gaudiya Math after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's disappearance. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he thought that the Ramakrishna mission had a good, they were very successful for spreading their message. I will read an excerpt from Bhaktivikas Swami's trilogy on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in this regard. The main orchestrator of Gaudiya Math activities, Kunja Bihari Prabhu, had formerly frequented the Ramakrishna mission, which by expert organization and management had established many maths, published numerous books and journals, and become so highly respected and popular, especially in Bengal, that few people could even begin to hear any criticism of it. We have one ISKCON scholar, disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he's a Bengali, Krishna Abhishek Prabhu. He told me, when I visited him in Calcutta, that actually many times in ISKCON, some people don't like ISKCON because they have openly spoken against the Ramakrishna mission. They are so highly regarded in Bengal. So this point is true not only almost one century ago, but even nowadays. And even though the two societies were almost totally opposed philosophically, many of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's innovations to the Gaudiya world, maths, sannyasis, use of modern conveyances and contraptions, overseas propaganda, and indeed the whole pattern of cultural detente with, rather withdrawal from, the contemporary world had already been effectively launched by the Ramakrishna mission. So they were successful. So we see here a pattern. Before Sri Ramanujacharya, Sri Madhvacharya, they took sannyas in order to refute Shankara. And now, in modern times, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took sannyas to refute the Neo-Vedantis, headed by the preachers of the Ramakrishna mission, following Swami Vivekananda, who had been successful in promoting monistic ideas in the West, and a diluted philosophical idea of even Advaita Vedanta. No, Ramanuja Sampradaya, they are Vaishnavas, they are the Sri Sampradaya. Ramakrishna Mission was founded by Swami Vivekananda, who traveled, actually he traveled to the West in 1893 to the first Parliament of World Religions. and created an impact. The idea, the concept of Hinduism as a global religion, a lot of it has been contributed by Swami Vivekananda. Srila Prabhupada doesn't speak in his books directly about the name of Swami Vivekananda, but in his purpose many times he's referring to things they do and he's refuting those things they do, such as mundane welfare activities, even eating, sometimes allowing sannyasis who eat meat, for example. He gave some concessions, knowing their Beluru, I think is the name where they have, they have a mat where they serve fish and eggs in Bengal presently, to those who want it, to the Westerners who, even those who are becoming monks there, so it's becoming very Westernized, even sacrificing essential principles of sannyas from our point of view and from the point of view of Shastra. Beluru is the place where they have the headquarters where they train their monks in Bengal, Beluru. So there they serve like eggs and fish. So it's quite, to me it resonated how we should be careful that it doesn't, I mean they will say, well, come on, we never will go that far, but we should be careful not to dilute things and come where nothing else, nothing essential, I mean many essential things are sacrificed. This will be renouncing something in the mode of ignorance. I have seen, there was one devotee, a Spanish devotee, he was a Trappist monk. And he told me in the early days, even the Trappists, they were strictly vegetarian. But then later on, they started to serve fish once a week or twice a week. So these tendencies occur. So Srila Prabhupada was strong in his purpose, condemning these things like sannyasis eating all kinds of nonsense and impure foodstuffs. And this was, he was, it resonates that he's speaking about the Ramakrishna mission, although out of perhaps politeness and he's not writing openly about it in the books. But the whole, the idea of the dressed, the idea of having sannyasis, brahmacharis, a mission led by the monks, this was taken from the Ramakrishna mission because of their success. Then there are four main reasons introduced for the practice of Vaishnava Sannyas by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. The first one is to propagate the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, as Lord Chaitanya did and other acharyas did in the past. And a second one is to provide formal roles of spiritual leadership within the pilot Daiva Varna Ashram, Dharma. So the idea was to establish some leaders, traditional authority. Sannyasis in India were regarded as sadhus. So whatever they say will be taken seriously. So such an authority was accepted in India, and therefore could be used for the purpose of establishing Vaishnavism. Then another aspect was to uphold the sacred status of the Paramahamsa, the Babaji dress. This was the Rupa Goswami's dress, Haridas Thakur's dress, Sanatana Goswami. And because it had been imitated by people who were not qualified, she wanted to actually show that we are not transcendental to Varnashram, but we are within Varnashram. A sannyas is following sannyas dharma. And therefore there are norms, there are rules to be followed. Srila Prabhupada also emphasizes in some of his purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita that sannyas means actually servant of the Paramahamsa, the spiritual master. In ISKCON, we should consider ourselves servants of the Paramahamsa, Srila Prabhupada. This is the idea of taking sannyas. And it's a monk who is serving the devotees and serving the spiritual master. That's the principle. In this regard, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj from Srila Prabhupada's god brother, in one of his books, it's a transcription of interviews, and he's talking about this point. He says, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, saw that the imitationists were accepting the dress of Babaji's, but they did not come to the standard. They become degraded and create so many disturbances in the society, creating a bad name for Rupa, Sanatan, Mahaprabhu, and the Gaudiya Sampradaya at large. So Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta gave stress to this sannyas order. First prepare yourself as the head of society. Then when such time comes, you may take the position of Babaji if you find it necessary. This was his opinion, that later on you may find it necessary. But for preaching, sannyas was to give leadership, to give good role models to society. And the fourth was to provide practical living manifestations of the principle of Yukta Vairagya, or using everything in the service of the Lord. For example, can you think of some things Srila Bhaktisiddhanta introduced? Some modern technology he introduced for preaching? Using car, traveling by car, even in the holy places. What else? Dioramas. Dioramas. He had actually, I think he had two ships. He was traveling through the beaches part with the dioramas and showing people will come and see dioramas of Krishna Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila. The printing press, Brihat Mrindanga, he called it. And Srila Prabhupada, he continued on the same line. The Brihat Mrindanga idea, Prabhupada got it from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who in turn got it from Srila Bhaktivinoda. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda started using the press to publish, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta then increased it and called it a big Mrindanga. You can listen to the Mrindanga like 4 or 5 blocks away from where the kirtan is taking place, but with the printing press, you can listen from the other side of the world. And the proof, we find empirical evidence in that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books were found in Canada, in a library. It was Montreal or in one library in America. So What else? What else did he use? Yes, he wore this like very nice long dress, like overcoat. This was not for a sannyasi. Was not typical. Was in order to communicate his message, he would dress in a respectable way for the public he was addressing. He did, and he opened 3 mats in the West, according to Pranaba Prabhu's research during his doctoral research. One in London, was one lady who became initiated, but that was Gaudiya Math in London. Srila Prabhupada told his first disciples to visit that mat when he first sent them to there. It's in Ranchor Prabhu's book. I forgot the name of initiated name of that lady, disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Then also in Germany, Sadananda Das. I believe he became a sannyasi, but then he gave up. If I'm not mistaken, I think I have read somewhere. I'm not 100% sure, but he opened up. There was a mat in Germany, and also in Burma. Of course, that's not the West, but that's outside India. So he went abroad, and he really wanted to go abroad. And this was what inspired Srila Prabhupada to go abroad, that his Guru Maharaj told him to preach abroad to the English-speaking world. So, in this way, he used Yukta Vairagya as a principle for preaching Krishna consciousness. This is the essential reason for establishing sannyas, for spreading Krishna consciousness in a modern way, modern sannyas. He didn't call it like that, but we can call it. It's appropriate. So Srila Prabhupada, following Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we see the picture here. It's a bit small, let me see. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur here with many Gaudiya Math members. Here some of his sannyasi disciples. He initiated, personally initiated about 20 sannyasi disciples. There are profiles of them in Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's book of 17 of them. You get an idea how they were. They were generally were good looking. They were even like charismatic people, strong. And they will go out and preach and give lectures. You can read from the profiles. This is how they are described. And he was sending them for preaching. And he initiated 13 Babajis. Babajis he gave generally to those who were not so much into preaching, but who were very, very much into bhajan, and they had quality bhajan performance, so to say, and he will initiate them as Babajis. But he told them, don't preach anybody else to become Babaji. That was a condition he gave them. I heard that from Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur. So, you are a Babaji, you can do it, but you don't preach others to do the same. I want the others to preach. So that's possible for some devotee who is old, cannot travel anymore, can go not go, then chant, relax, chant Hare Krishna, become absorbed in the holy name. Give a good example of bhajan. I have a quote, very nice quote, which shows how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta saw sannyas. If I'm able to find it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, the Vaishnava school does not attach much importance to this external formality of the ascetic order, but considers it merely an ostentatious advantage for propaganda work. So basically, it was propaganda work. It was just using, okay, sannyasa is a platform to reach out to people, so let's use it to propagate pure devotional service to the Lord. Of course, there is the dimension, the inner dimension, written in the purport to the Bhikshu Gita verse chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took sannyas, etam sastaya paratmanishtam. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, he refers to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and refers to that process as atmanivedanam, or the process of surrendering body, words, and mind in the service of the Lord. So that's also another dimension which is there. But generally, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did it for preaching Krishna consciousness. In the Gaudiya Math, however, from 1918 until 1936, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta established 67 temples, initiated, from what I have heard, I will have to double check that, but about 10,000 disciples. But then he was, there is evidence that at some point he was not feeling happy with the way some of his sannyasis were acting. Not necessarily all of them, but some of them. And there is a phrase which he mentioned. This was in the 1930s. In several occasions, he said, I made them renunciants, but they became voluptuaries. Which is it's a very sensual word, actually. Voluptuaries, someone into body eating, and like sabara, to say sibarita. I don't know, it's a Spanish word. But a very kind of refined material lifestyle, like living nicely. I will read some excerpts from a letter he wrote in this regard, Rules for the Temple. This must be a period where sannyasis were misusing their position. And then he wrote some rules. 7th no, the, okay, the date is not, let me see, it was posted on VNN, Rules for the Temple, by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada. I didn't find the original source, but I quoted because it sounds like him, the way of writing it. We who have come to the Sri Chaitanya Math are all surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Deva. Therefore, we do not have any other goal besides devotional service to the Supreme Lord. If we lack in our service, then our mentality will become like that of a materialistic person and ultimately devour us. In order to protect the mat, however, we have to abide by some rules. And this shows how he didn't favor Yukta Vairagya, using Yukta Vairagya as an excuse for personal sense enjoyment and having a comfortable life. One, it should be the duty of sannyasi that they should never use shoes. Rather, they should go everywhere on foot. Here there is the usage of shoes, but everywhere on foot. It seems they were using cars to go to different places for commodity, for comfort. Two, they should never accept service from anyone. Neither should they never ask someone to massage their body or feet with oil. Three, eating nice food and eating separately from other devotees is totally forbidden. One should never go to a physician and should never take medicine according to their own wish. Note, when a sannyasi needs something, then it should be the duty of residents of the mat to nicely take care of him. It is the duty of a sannyasi to serve the ones who are not sannyasis. The living entity invites difficulties by criticizing others, scandalizing others, and unnecessarily talking about others. One should always desire auspiciousness. A devotee can easily control his mind and destroy his desires by steadfastly serving the holy name. 5. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is residing in every spirit soul. Therefore, one should not consider himself worshipable and that others should serve him. When a sannyasi is free from false ego, then the residents of the mat should enthusiastically serve him. Otherwise, he should go back home. So he was talking very strongly, should go back home. 6. Excessive foppery. Excessive drinking of milk, eating luxuriously like a big man, should be totally given up. We don't want gymnasts, bodybuilders in our mat. This is the place for the devotees of the Lord. 7. Strengthening the senses by taking excessive medicine and trying to spread one's domination in order to attract others' wives should be given up totally. 8. Sri Krishna is the only Lord and enjoyer of everybody and everything. One should remember that all the time. One should serve according to the degree of their devotion. There cannot be any auspiciousness unless we become free from the evil desire to use the devotees in our service. The fire of lust that burns for material sense gratification should be given up. But that doesn't mean one should speak uncivilized language and dress in an uncivilized way in order to mix with dignified society. So it goes on, but you can see the mood is kind. He uses again the word foppery. Foppery, foppery is like pompous. It's like, I looked for synonyms before. So it's like pompous dressing and dressing style, like a kind of aggrandizement, self-aggrandizement approach and so on. Comments or questions on what have been discussed so far? Okay, I guess you want to go into ISKCON. So what happened after? So after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's departure of this world in the beginning of 1937, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had requested his disciples to work together to preserve the Gaudiya Math and the mission of Lord Chaitanya. But unfortunately, there were deviations. And deviations meaning disciples did not follow that instruction, and they split the Math in different factions. And this made the mission to diminish in strength. And in many places, the preaching, according to Srila Prabhupada's, or Srila Prabhupada's estimation, diminished greatly. Prabhupada wrote a very strong poem in the late 1950s in Vrindavan, was a Vyasa Puja letter to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, And very strongly he speaks against the fact that they had practically stopped the preaching work. And the main desire of his spiritual master was to spread Krishna consciousness. So with that spirit, Srila Prabhupada accepted sannyasa initiation in September 17, 1959, from his god brother, sitting in this picture, Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj. So this is Srila Prabhupada's sannyasa initiation picture. Another god brother, Muni Maharaj, also took sannyas with him. And sannyas meant preaching. That was the meaning of sannyas for Srila Prabhupada. He had dreamt from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appearing three times over his life in dreams to him, to Srila Prabhupada, and beckoning, saying, please come and take sannyas, was telling him. And Srila Prabhupada, he said, I was horrified by when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was calling me to take sannyas. But later on, he saw, okay, the third time appeared, he was already retired from family life, he was writing books, and then his godbrother, Bhakti Prayan Keshava Maharaj, told him, yes, you have to take sannyas. If you want to spread Krishna consciousness, you need to take sannyas. And then he saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is speaking to me through my godbrother. And he took sannyas. There is a very nice class in which Srila Prabhupada speaks with great feeling. There was the disappearance day of Keshava Maharaj. And he speaks with great gratefulness to him for having represented his Guru Maharaj and pushed him, encouraged him to take sannyas, even though he was reluctant to do it. And Srila Prabhupada as a sannyasi, he applied the principle of Yukta Vairagya. We can see Srila Prabhupada occupied in all kinds of ways, upper left, managing, doing kirtan, propagating the holy name, writing books. He gave initiation to so many disciples, so many sannyasis. You see, the dandas, he gave sannyas for preaching, even though he knew many devotees were not ready, but he had a very few years left. He knew that at any time Krishna could call him back, so he wanted to establish a mission. He took risk and he gave sannyas to young men, 20-year-old men. He offered them if they wanted to take sannyas and preach Krishna consciousness. These are other pictures from Gaudiya Math sannyasis. Okay. There was a picture I missed. There is another picture. You may have seen the picture of Srila Prabhupada cooking. Have you seen Prabhupada cooking? In the beginning, in the early days, he taught his disciples how to cook. Yamuna Devi, Malati Devi, they were taught personally by Prabhupada how to cook. Even his female disciples, how to cook for Krishna, how to prepare prasadam. In one occasion, there is an incident in Mayapur. He was with his god brothers, and there was nobody to cook for them. And Prabhupada said, okay, I will cook. Because a sannyasi is supposed not to touch fire. But Prabhupada said, cooking for Krishna, that's not against sannyas dharma, it's Vaishnava seva. How can prasad distribution is preaching? How you can call that a material activity? It's transcendental, it's divine activity. Even in Rishikesh, we had recently one devotee, Damodar Pandit Prabhu. He came to New Brajamandala, to Spain, and he was present during the period Srila Prabhupada in 1976-77, when he went to Rishikesh for recover his health. And Prabhupada, he was ill, but still he was sometimes, he was very ill actually, but he will still sometimes go and show his disciples how to cook a proper chapati, because one of them was not doing it nicely. So he went to show him how to do it properly. Other comments or questions? It's a fact. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's rulers are less demanding than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rules. So it seems that according to the measurement of, I guess, as Kali Yuga progresses and modernity moves ahead, they say people in Kali Yuga become smaller. This will be an example. So we could say also in terms of capability to perform bhajan, so we have to adapt the dress to the person. Like, for example, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada was saying in this Yadavar Prabhu's interview series, he said that someone asked Srila Prabhupada about Chota Haridas' incident and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Chota Haridas, and Srila Prabhupada replied, I need you all for preaching. I cannot reject anybody. I need you all for preaching. So that principle is there, that Srila Prabhupada had adapted to the needs of the people of the time, which will be this in the conclusions. There is a tension there. To what extent are we putting too much, someone could say, putting too much water on the milk, someone could say? What is the bottom line? What's possible? Like now some Prabhupada's disciples who left ISKCON, they're giving initiation with four rounds. And in ISKCON we do not accept that, because Srila Prabhupada said at least 16 rounds. So these tensions are there. So I'm quoting because it's part of the history, and it's good to look at it and to take it into consideration. If we're becoming too lax, maybe it can help us to become a bit more balanced. It could be the case. Many of the problems in ISKCON, and that's one of the reasons why it was bothering me, in the beginning I mentioned this topic was bothering me. Many of the problems in ISKCON came from imitating Srila Prabhupada. Like Srila Prabhupada, he took massage. I don't say you shouldn't take massage, but for health reasons he took massage. He was an old man traveling, so maybe not the same, an old man taking massage than a 30, 40-year-old man taking massage every day and having servants massaging the feet and so on. It makes a difference. How it affects the consciousness in one case or the other. Also in this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction that according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, unless one chants 64 rounds, one is considered patita, fallen. So we are all fallen. And then he says, but because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen, if we preach the holy name of the Lord, we still can have the hope to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was Prabhupada's approach, very, very open to give mercy to people and to give opportunity. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj will say, Prabhupada was giving opportunity by giving sannyas. So it's the opportunity to do something for Krishna, to give your life for preaching Krishna consciousness. Some succeeded, some or many in the beginning didn't do it. As time passes now, the screening processes have increased, so that diminishes the attrition ratio naturally. Is that okay? Other comments or questions? Yes, there was what we discussed briefly yesterday, Babaji Vesha. So it was a type of initiation, Babaji, but they didn't have sacred thread, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta established sacred thread, Tridanda, and all the formalities of Sannyas initiation. So practically nobody, although some say, for example, Prabodhananda Sarasvati, he was Gopal Bhatta Goswami's uncle, he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava who lived in Vrindavan. He wrote books glorifying Vrindavan. So he was our Tridandi Sannyasi. It's not clear. I didn't find information from whom he took. The name is a Dashanami name, Prabodhananda Sarasvati. Of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he also used the title Sarasvati, which was a Dashanami title, very prestigious. But we don't know exactly. I don't know. Prabodhananda Sarasvati's sannyas, where he received it from. Could be from Adashanami also. In those days, there was this mixing. Yeah, that's a valid question. It's a valid question. But it's how you want to project it, the ashram. The ashram, you can project it in different ways. You can use the... Of course, for preaching, my experience is with Indians. The people from India, they have it in the blood. There is this medieval tradition. They have it. It's kind of... Sannyasi comes to their home and they make the whole thing, receiving, offering respect, listening. So that's there. In yoga circles, that you use it for preaching. That's something you can use for preaching. But yet, what standards you put, and we will see. This is one of the 10 factors for giving up sannyas in ISKCON that came up. No clear standards. So where do you draw the line? What's appropriate for Yukta Vairagya? What's not appropriate? Where are the lines? So you are right. There are tensions there. That's a valid question.
Mm-hmm.
Good, very good point. Yeah. And then from the point of view of the Sampradaya, there will be tensions about what can be changed, what cannot be changed. There are things, for example, women taking sannyas, Prabhupada didn't accept that formal sannyas, taking formal, he didn't accept that as proper. Then when there was some schism in ISKCON, when Kirtanananda Swami left, he gave some women sannyas. Like Malati Devi Dasi, she was a sannyasi, a formal sannyasi, for some time, not accepted by ISKCON authorities, but outside ISKCON. Then she came back to ISKCON and she dressed still saffron, but no danda and follows the rules of the institution. So, but some could say, no, why? We can do Prabhupada will do it, because no, someone could make a case for it. I don't say, but you could argue later on. Or yeah, indeed. The conservatives and the liberals, it's about that, yes. Yes. Yes, of course these things are difficult because there are things Prabhupada didn't do at some point and did later on. There is, you can look at the history of ISKCON. Maybe you can help me, but there are things he didn't do in the beginning, he did later on. That's an example. Of course, that's going from more liberal to more strict. So, yeah, that's, and it's an example. But there are others from going from strict to liberal. I mean, I will have to find some. But what I mean is that Prabhupada made changes in how he was doing things with the pass of time. In terms of sannyas, he became more strict, actually, from the beginning to the late 70s. Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. So I guess we will stop here for the Arctic. It's a natural time to stop. Thank you very much. Tomorrow we will focus more into the, very quickly, the history of sannyas in ISKCON, very quick, and then into the 10 factors. So we don't extend it more, otherwise whenever we will end. And then if you want more, we will publish the book and then you buy the book. I'm making little propaganda. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
One second. Okay.